It is never Jesus plus baptism or Jesus plus works. Salvation is never unless you do this, this, and this, and this. It is a gift of God to everyone who believes in their heart and truly confesses in their mouth, Jesus be the Lord of my life. That's it.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, welcome to the Friday broadcast of Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill's series from the Epistle of Philippians, The Joy of Serving Jesus, continues. A pastor has titled this next message, Beware of Killjoys. Now, Pastor.
Paul's letter, of course, as we've been calling it, the Epistle of Joy. Paul is one of the greatest men that God has ever used that's walked the face of this earth. He was truly a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Amen? Remember the word bondservant, doulos in the Greek, which means he was a slave of Christ, of his own volition. He's born from above. He loves the Lord. It means that it's no longer his will, but it's God's will. Amen? In other words, like he said in 121 of Philippians, in the first chapter, he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And Paul, his heart and his mind were consumed with one thing, the Lord Jesus. It says, remember he said in Philippians 2:5, he said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when we go through, we're just going to cover three verses, but when we go through this great chapter 3, and it is a great chapter, loved one, you know, you're going to notice certain things about Paul. For example, look at these scriptures with me in chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Paul, the apostle, says, oh, that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, that I may be found in him. Verse 10, to know him. Verse 11, that I may attain. Verse 12, that I press on. That tells us that the supreme goal of Paul's entire life was to serve Jesus Christ and to love Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a question as I set up our sermon this morning, our teaching. Do you know what a killjoy is? Do we hear that word today very often? Is it an old word? Do you know that that word actually, killjoy, goes all the way back to 1776? Composed of two words, but I don't have time to tell all about that. It's still going to help you. But a killjoy, let me give you the exact definition of a killjoy. It says a killjoy is a person who destroys or lessens a person's joy. That's what a killjoy is. For example, here's a saying. From a killjoy, I wake up smiling, and I think it's your fault. You know what I mean? God is not fond of killjoys. You understand? Because the killjoys that we're talking about in our sermon this morning, loved one, listen, they do something. The killjoys in chapter 3, then and even now, they stop the rejoicing that is due only to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? They limit our joy in the Lord. And so we're going to learn how to identify those and make sure that we are not allowing that to happen in our own life. The people that we're dealing with in this chapter, in these first three verses, if you will, a killjoy, and that's what I call them. Killjoy is a person, a ministry, a church, whatever. A killjoy is one that perverts the truth of the gospel. They deny that God's grace is sufficient, that just simple faith in Christ is all that's needed. And that, in other words, that Jesus really isn't enough, okay? Oh, that's so sad, isn't it? Jesus just isn't really enough. And so they're grace abusers. They're devourers of grace. They want to steal that from a believer, a true believer's life. So this morning, as we look, beware of joy killers or killers of joy, beginning in verse 1, Paul the Apostle, he writes unto us and he says, finally, my brethren, Here it is again. Rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Now, we know that Paul is not concluding when he uses the word finally. He's just halfway through this great epistle, amen? So what he's really saying, if you look up that word and, you know, and did a little word study, it basically means this, now for the rest, okay? So Paul is now going to tell us the rest of the story here in the book of Philippians. Now, rejoice in the Lord. Look at that word, rejoice in the Lord. You know, here's what I want you to think about after you leave and think about now. I think if you have the opportunity later today to read that verse, would you stop and truly ponder and think about that, about what Paul just said? I mean, you know, really look deeply into it, you know, because look at who said it. I mean, I didn't say it. Do you understand? You didn't say it. Look at the person who said that. Listen, had I gone through 32 or more years of what Paul had gone through in his life, I do not know that I could say, rejoice in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you think of Paul's life and all that he endured. Matter of fact, I would probably be in counseling, you know? I might be bitter toward the Lord. Do you know many Christians end up that way? Isn't that sad? Because of the things that happen in their lives. You know, Paul gives us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he gives us 23 instances or experiences that he went through. Listen to Paul in his own words as I read. It's a lengthy reading, so bear with me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, 23, he says, are they ministers of Christ? Now, he's mocking them because they're false apostles and false teachers. He said, well, I tell you what, I am more. He says, here's my record. He says, in labors more abundant, meaning for the Lord Jesus Christ, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. You know, Paul didn't know every day he woke up, it could be his last. Amen. And he goes on and he says, from the Jews, from his own people, he says, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. You add that up, that's 195 lashes across his body. Remember how the Jews would do that? They would strip your clothing. They would lift your arms as high as they would go. And they would attach your hands to a pole where you were stretched out. And then they would start beating you. When Paul describes those things, you don't see any blood, you don't hear the misery, you do not hear the agony of what he went through, but he endured all those things. Those things really happened to Paul the apostle. He says, not only that, three times I was beaten with rods. Now, that was the Romans who did that. Remember how, well, there at Philippi, when he and Silas, they were arrested. They were put in prison in the lowest part, in the dungeon. It was midnight, and they were beaten. The jailer beat them, and then what happened? They put them in the stocks and so forth. So he says, yeah, three times I was beaten with rods. And he goes on, and he says, once I was stoned or literally left for dead, and three times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've been in the deep, in journeys often. And I did a study with Ramsey, who wrote of the travel of Paul. Over 5,500 miles, Paul traveled for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that most of that was on foot, you know what I mean? He says, in journeys often, he goes on and he says, oh, in perils of waters and dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers over and over, perils over and over eight times, dangers among false brethren, which would be the false Jewish Christians. He said, in weariness, toil, sleeplessness, often hunger, thirst, fastings often. That's not fastings because of spiritual reasons, it's because he'd had no food. In cold, nakedness. In other words, freezing. Loved one, listen, that's quite a list, isn't it? Paul, right now, look at that in verse 1 again. Finally, my brethren, he's talking to his brothers, his sisters. He says, here it comes. He is commanding. That's a command. He says, rejoice in the Lord, or literally, let it be, you're literally constantly ongoing rejoicing in the Lord. And I have to say, okay, Paul, you need to tell me how you're doing this. Because when Paul penned this letter, where was he? He was in prison. Was he chained to a guard 24/7? He was chained to a guard. You know the story. He doesn't know if he's going to live. He doesn't know if he's going to die. And what does he do? He commands free believers, those that are in their homes, those that are going to have dinner with their family that night, he says, I command you. That means God is commanding to rejoice. Wow. Paul never said, I rejoice in my chains, even though his chains were doing something among the palace guard. Amen. He wasn't saying, in this instance, I'm rejoicing in these circumstances. You know, that's not what he said. He says, there's only one object of my rejoicing. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through in my life, the only object of my rejoicing is Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is a wonderful command. Listen, that is the place of true joy. That is the place of real joy. And that is the source of our joy, is the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are in living union with him. Amen? There's a lot of people in the church today in the 21st century, you know what? They love the Lord and God loves them. They're born again, but you know what? Their branches are huge, but their roots are shallow. And there's not a lot of joy. There's not a lot of rejoicing that is going on. You remember what Nehemiah said to the workers there in the old covenant? He told them, he says, oh, don't be sorrowing. Don't be sorrow. Don't be sad. He says, for the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Listen, our joy is not from this world. The joy that we have is divine in origin. And the object of it is of course, our Lord and Savior. You know, the Bible teaches us about joy. It says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, and what? Joy. Did you notice that it doesn't say in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is Bill? Or the fruit of Bill, you see what I'm talking about? It's not my joy. It's the joy from heaven that's in us because we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Boy, you know, when I think about all that I just said, you know, if a person, if a believer, if your joy's not in the Lord, well, how in the world can it be true joy? See, that's the only place you can get it. Remember what Jesus said? He said in John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy, can you believe that? That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be, he uses a word, full. That word literally in the Greek means to completely overflow. Like you're filling a glass of iced tea and instead of filling it a little bit below, you just let it run over the glass. That's the kind of joy that we are to have. Why? That joy is our rightful possession. Jesus, I give it to you, man. I give you my joy. Now listen, since joy, true joy, is only found in Christ, don't look in other places. Amen? The world is full of joy killers. Do you understand? Or let me put it back at the sermon. Killjoys, okay? The world is full of killjoys. Some churches are full of killjoys. You go into that place, you come in cold, and you'll go out frozen. Do you understand? No, you'll come in pretty good, and you'll leave, and you're pretty bad, okay? No, listen, you got to be careful. And you can hang around with some killjoys who call themselves believers, and they are joyless, and they'll make you joyless. Do you understand? Listen, that's not Bible, loved one. No, we have the joy of the Lord. Now, look at it again. He says, finally, my brethren, then the command, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says something. He says, for me to write the same things, to repeat them over and over and over, he's saying, to you, it's not tedious, but for you, it is what? Interesting. Rejoice in the Lord. And I'm going to remind you over and over, keep rejoicing in the Lord. He says, and I'm not going to ever let you forget. He says, it's not tedious for me, man. He says, but I'll tell you what, for you, it is a safety net. It is something that you need to guard and protect. Amen? Philip's translation, Philip says, you will find it a safeguard to your souls. What? Saying the same things or repetition. Repetition is a good thing. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by and you got it? The Word of God. So over and over and over and over and over. There's something about repetition. It becomes automatic after a while. For example, like I told the first service, you know, if you have a garage door opener, so you leave early in the morning, you know, you're in a rush, but, you know, for 35 years, you have punched the same button that lowers that garage door. Then you click, But then it's so automatic, you stop and go, did I close the garage door? Don't show me any hands. I know you've done that. And if you haven't, you're lying. That's right. No, listen, I can't tell you how many times I have backed up and I'm going, I know it was closed, but I don't even remember doing it. You know, repetition, loved one, is a good, good thing. Look at your kiddos. Kids love repetition. How many times have your little ones, if they're still little, daddy, mommy, there you go, do it again. They're Nike people. Just do it. You know? sing that song with me again, or read that book again. Read it again. Wait a minute. Stop. Back up. Read that. Start all over. They love it. Do we love it? No, it's tedious. No, but they love that repetition. Repetition is good. Listen, I have at my house, you know, my study where I study, my prayer room and all that is the laundry room. We're really clean in that place. Mario, no more jokes, please. He writes my jokes. And I'm going, stop it, you know. But every morning something happens, and that is there is the same mockingbird. He comes to the house, and I have an antenna, you know. We don't have that cable stuff. And so we have the old antenna. Still works, praise the Lord. And this is the truth. And I have a film of it, in case you don't believe me. He lands in the same place. He looks in the same direction. I've watched him over and over, and he sings the same songs over and over. They're all different because, you know, they're mocking birds. I hear a tough bunch. So I said all of that to say, Paul said, I'm repeating these things over and over and over. If you went through the Epistle of Philippians and counted the word joy or rejoice and maybe a few more, it means the same thing, Paul will have said that at least, and I'm probably wrong, probably more, at least 16 times. Why? He says, for me, it's not tedious, but for you, it is very safe. He says, you need to, man, rejoice. Obey the command, God's commandments, is our enablements. Obey the Lord to rejoice in the Lord. There's only one thing that never needs to be repeated, and F.B. Meyer tells us. He says this, Christ's work needs no repetition. It is final because it is perfect. Amen and amen. Now, here's the question. I look at all the circumstances throughout the years in Paul's life, and then I say, okay, Paul, tell me, how do we constantly, continuously rejoice in the Lord to obey that command? Well, the first thing we need to know is that what we've already learned. The Bible tells us that for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? We've already learned that. Remember what work out means in the Greek? It means to bring to its ultimate conclusion, like a math problem. 2 + 2 = Okay. You guys are sharp. 2 + 2 = 4. Okay, so work out to the ultimate conclusion. So work out your own salvation. It's your possession. You're born from above with fear and trembling. And then he tells us why. For it is God who is working in you. But that's a different word in the Greek, the word working there. It means that he is energizing us. We have divine enablement. His power is working us to fulfill his desires and his purposes and his plans for our life. Amen? Yes. Now, with all that being said, that tells us something, that if we are truly rejoicing in the Lord, then we have to be going from glory to glory to glory and into the same image of our Lord and Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That means that something is happening. It means we're no longer little babies. We're no longer little baby Christians. We're starting to grow up. We're starting to mature. We do so by renewing our minds to the Word of God. Amen? And that means if we're renewing our minds to the Word of God, does that mean that we're learning something? Of course. That's exactly how Paul answers my question. How is it that we can obey the command to rejoice in the Lord continuously all the time? I mean, when you were born again, were you immediately the Apostle Paul? No, and neither was I. I have to grow up like everybody else. I have to learn to grow up. Now, look at chapter 4 of Philippians and drop down to verse 11. And let's see how Paul, what he says about growing up and learning. He says in verse 11 to 4, not that I speak in regard to need. Here it comes. For I have what? I have learned. I matured. I grew up. I learned by experience. I learned by the word of God. In all the situations that I was in my life, he says, I've learned in whatever state I'm in. That is a big word, isn't it? Whatever state I'm in, hey, to be content. Why, Paul? He says, well, I know, meaning I know as a result of learning, maturing. He says, for I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. Man, in all things, I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, to abound, suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, this may sound weird, but it's okay. I am weird. You know, sometimes I just look in the mirror, you know, look at the brush your teeth, you know, comb your hair. But no, I mean, I look in the mirror and I say, okay, Lord, I'm really down. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like I'm bummed out. And then I say, I want to rejoice. And so what do? I start talking to myself. Bill, God, your Father chose you in Him, in Jesus. When, Bill? Before time began. Are you still in the dumps? Bill, you are a co-heir with Christ. All that God the Father gives God the Son, Jesus is going to share equally with His bride, the church. Amen? You see what I'm getting at? All the promises in Him, Jesus, are yes and yes. Again, I say yes and amen. Amen? You follow me. What are you doing? Well, you're rejoicing in the Lord. You're rejoicing in all that He has done. See, you're learning to do that in the midst of those circumstances. Sometimes I speak to those circumstances and I just say, I'm winning. I'm winning. I am winning because the Bible tells me, thanks be unto God who always leads us in victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is not a minute, no matter what the circumstance may hold against us, that we're not moving forward in victory. We are in Christ Jesus. He has overcome the world. Amen. Now, when we get that kind of mindset, then we are obeying the command to rejoice in the Lord. So Paul says, it is safe, man, that I repeat these things to you. That's why you hear me say, love never fails, love never fails, love never fails. Or the fact of the matter, I'll quote John 13, the new commandment, John 13, 34, 35, 100 times, because that's how we get it into us. Amen? Again, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So Paul says, it is safe that I repeat these things. And so we ask ourselves a question, okay, Paul, why is it really a safe thing then? And he says, because there are joy killers, killjoys out there in this world. Look at the next verse. He says in verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. In other words, beware of anyone, any person, church, ministry that would kill your joy. Meaning to prevent you from totally, truly rejoicing in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul warns us. He warned the church at Philippi. He warns us as well 3 times. And the word, when it says there, beware, it literally means this. Church, be on the lookout. They're coming. And they're going to come in all through your life. They're going to be coming. That's what Paul is saying. He says, you've got to be on the lookout. He says, these people, they are killjoys. And Paul even gives them names. Look at it again. He says, what is it? You dogs. Wow. You evil workers. You butchers or the mutilation. Listen, oh, Paul, don't you love it how he practices tolerance? Huh? You know, he's really politically correct, isn't he? He's going to have to go through counseling and retraining classes, you know? No. God is in agreement. Who penned verse 2? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in agreement. Amen? They are dogs. And they are worse than dogs. They're evil workers. They're the mutilation. What do they do? Well, they're killjoys. What does a killjoy do? They try to kill your joy that you have as being a believer, as being born again. Do you understand?
Well, I hate to be a killjoy, but we're out of time for this broadcast and for this week. Pastor Bill will complete this message on our Monday broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails.
May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.